right, let's give this time to Brother Smithers.
Hope since yesterday some of you guys have been practicing saying yes a little bit more to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Anybody? But a few, I heard. Well, let's pray. Let's just ask God to bless the reading of His Word. The Scriptures should be something that we fall in love with more and more as we walk with the Lord. Amen? And we need to make them a high priority. Give that God loves to show us His heart, and I'm never cease to be amazed about all the little stuff that kind of pops out between the lines. You know what I mean? Sometimes things you overlook one time that you see the next time when you read the Word of God. So I hope you are having an ongoing discovery of the beauty of God's Word. Well, let's pray, and let's really take some initiative this morning to ask God to speak to your heart. Amen? You know, prayer that we do at the beginning of any meeting isn't just a preliminary that they get the thing started, you know, so we can get into the real teaching of the Word or whatever. But let's ask God to speak to us this morning. Amen? So pray with me. Agree with me. Say, Jesus, talk to me this morning. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Say something to me this morning that will make this material relevant and real and life-changing. Amen? Isn't that what we're wanting? I mean, we don't need to come to another meeting to go through the motions, do we? Are you guys tired of man-made religion, what man can do in church? Aren't you tired of that? Amen? Amen? That means so be it. Amen? Don't you want this to be real and dynamic and make an impact on your life? We just need God to revive His church in these days and make the church of Jesus Christ attractive like Jesus is attractive. Amen? And I believe with all my heart God wants to do it. He wants to do it through your generation if you'll let Him. You believe that? So, the Lord is good, isn't He? Thank you, worship team, again. You guys did a great job. Appreciate giving the glory to Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord. So let's just ask God to teach us, to speak to us, to make us transparent, to make us honest, to tear down all the walls that keep you, as one old author used to put it, with the roof off and the walls down. Amen? Nothing between us and God and nothing between one another. Isn't that the way we want to live our life? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you're concerned about us, that you're interested in us, that you like us, in spite of the way we are, God. That we are never cease to be amazed at your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, your wonderful forgiveness. God, that keeps on pursuing us and seeking us and drawing us close. And God, I just pray that we would cooperate with the Spirit of the Comforter, the Counselor, the Teacher, the Empowerer. This morning, we would cooperate with you, that we would yield to you. God, so we ask you to speak to us through your word. Talk to us this morning. Instruct us in the way that we should go. Show us, God. Illuminate our path that we might know where to step and where not to step. God, just reveal your purposes in our life this morning. Empower us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you would visit us, that you would touch us, that you would energize us with your Spirit, that we would be firmly rooted in the vine. Your life would flow into us, God, that we would cease to try to do things in our own strength, with our own wisdom, with our own plan, that we would do it your way, Lord, by your power and in your time, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. We humble ourselves. We recognize our need for you. We can't do any of this without you, and we are tired of trying. We are tired of striving in our own strength. God, convict us this morning where our plans have been getting in your way. Show us the difference. Give us wisdom and discretion and discernment to distinguish between our plans and your plans, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We just come to you. We bless you. We honor you. We worship you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. We are so grateful for you. We say, come and be among us. We want to share the same space with you this morning, Lord, corporately as your people, in Jesus' name. God, we ask for a corporate anointing, not just an individual touch here or there, but fall on us by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We want spiritual reality. We don't want dead religion and form. We want spiritual a dynamic in our life that will make this thing different for us, God, and give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. God, just give me peace and help me do this in the way you want me to do it, to deliver it the way you want me to deliver it, to share it according to your heart and in your spirit and your way. God, to be kind as you are kind, gentle, loving, caring, compassionate, comforting, but as direct as you're being direct to us this morning also, God. Help me to hold that balance, the tension between those two things. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I confess I feel a little bit hyper this morning, like I don't want to stand still. I don't know if anybody else has those kind of compulsions. I was one of those kids that had to take a little bit of medication when I was young. My kindergarten teacher actually restrained me, tied me to a chair with some yarn one time. They wouldn't get away with that today, would they? That's before the doctor got my medication right back then. That was a long time ago. Not that I take any more of that anymore, but sometimes I have my moments. I'm sure they'd have all kinds of letters to identify what's going on with me, but anyway. I'm excited. I don't know how this is going to turn out because I was telling Jason on the phone. I was planning on being here with my family for the Lord's Supper, and the Lord started changing all my stuff around, so I hung back at the hotel and totally redid my notes. So we'll see how it turns out, okay? I want to talk about doing greater works or resisting the Holy Spirit. Doing greater works in the Spirit. God, this is why God's given us the Spirit, or resisting or quenching the Holy Spirit in our life. I really felt yesterday at the end of our talk that God was touching on some things. He was creating some contrast in some of our minds between saying yes to the Spirit of God that enables Him to get a hold of us and empower us and fill us and control us, that we might reach our destination, that we might fulfill our purpose and calling and destiny in God, or quenching the Holy Spirit, saying no, 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 where it's harder to yield to Him, where we're kind of doing our own thing. Okay? He was creating a little bit of a contrast. So I felt like I should change and redirect my material to kind of follow up on that theme some more, because I think the Lord's still doing that in some of y'all's hearts. And we'll see where it goes. God wants to do more than just comfort. He wants to do more than just teach us. He wants to do more than just enable us or give us knowledge how we should live our life. He desires to make you a kingdom doer. Amen? Someone who actually has a lifestyle of doing the greater works of the kingdom. It really struck me as I was reading again in John 14, 12 through 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do. Now, Jesus was a doer, wasn't he? He wasn't just one of those Pharisees that kind of disseminated information about what God was like and who God was. He did the kingdom work. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. God wants to make you not just a knower, not just a thinker, someone who has information about your life and where you want to go and when you want to do it. He wants to make you, change you by the power of the Holy Spirit into a doer. Amen? You know there's a big difference between being a knower, a thinker, and a doer. You realize that? There is this reflects a change of desire, an empowerment to actually take initiation and take some steps of action versus just knowing the right thing to do. Amen? Now, you know, all us church kids that have been raised in church all of our life, we know all the right things to do, don't we? Inside and outside, we've heard message after message after message on what to do and what not to do. We know it good, don't we? But many of us have never crossed that line, been empowered by God's Spirit yet, to suddenly start doing that stuff that we've been taught over and over and year after year after year. Amen? We don't even have the desire to do it. But God's Spirit, the Lord wants to give us His Spirit in its fullness, pour His Spirit out on us, and empower us to want to do it and then to follow up with a doing and acting out of the kingdom works. Amen? Isn't that what you want to see in your life, you guys? How many of us have been in that place where we go, I know what the right thing to do is. I know what it is. I kind of want to do it, but I don't kind of want to do it. And you never do it, right? You can't even find within yourself the grace or the power to do it. You determine that you're going to do it. You promise that you're going to do it. You pray to do it. And then you get in that place and you don't do it. Right? You go back to that old way, those old habits. God's Spirit is given to us through what Jesus did on the cross. That's when He ascended, He gave us the promise of the Father, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Teacher, the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our life in doing the way Jesus lived His life. Amen? Isn't that exciting, you guys? God wants to take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. What's a heart of stone like, you guys? Hard. Cold. It's impenetrable, right? Resistant. People get hurt with stones, don't they? A heart of flesh is warm. It's tender. It's sensitive. It's yielding. Amen? Don't you want that in your life? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So that's why I say, ask this morning, God, make me a doer, not just a knower. Amen? But you know how much Jesus believes in prayer? You know how important it is that we pray? Jesus, this is the way Jesus got things done. Did you ever notice this here in the latter part of verse 15 and 16? And I will ask the Father. This coming of the Holy Spirit upon our life is a direct answer to the prayer life of Jesus. Now, Jesus is prioritizing prayer. Amen? He's not asking you to do something that He doesn't do Himself. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, the same kind of comfort that Jesus gave. Another Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. Somebody who will stand by you, put His arm around you, hold your hand, doesn't let you go through things alone. That He may remain with you forever and ever. Every time I see that word ever, I always want to go forever and ever. Don't you want to add a few of those on there? God abides with us. He lives with us. He's in us by His Spirit. He'll never leave you nor forsake. He'll never leave you by yourself. He doesn't leave you by yourself to muddle through this life and figure out stuff all by from your natural senses. He wants to give you His insight. God wants to make you a doer of greater works in His kingdom. Therefore, we must be careful not to hinder or quench the Helper. See, He's given us a helper to do this stuff. And we can't both quench and resist the helper, the work of the Holy Spirit, and expect to rightly do the kingdom works, can we? That's a contradiction, isn't it? So if we want to be doers of the kingdom, we've got to cooperate with the Spirit of Christ, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the teacher, the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must be careful not to hinder or quench and help the help and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Now, we said yesterday, every time you say yes to the Holy Spirit, it becomes easier to say yes the next time. Haven't you found that to be true, some of you guys? And you keep on saying yes, and you go, wow, this is getting kind of natural, you know, spontaneous. I'm kind of liking this, right? It just becomes easy to obey the Spirit of Christ. What used to be hard to get motivated to do, will actually you grow in God's grace and it becomes easier to obey God's promises, God's word, God's instruction. That's good news, isn't it? Some of you guys, some of you young folks are struggling with stuff day by day to do the right thing. The good news is if you keep your eyes on Jesus and keep obeying the voice of the Spirit, it will get easier. It will get better. You will become established in those areas where it's not a constant fight anymore. That's good news, isn't it, you guys? Amen? But the contrast is also true. If you every time you say no to the Spirit of God, it's easier to say no again. And then to say no the next time, and to say no the next time, and pretty soon you can't even hardly hear the voice of the Spirit, and you're not even in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying. If you're going to become a kingdom doer, you have to start responding to that still small voice, those inward promptings, the tug of God on your heart. Amen? You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, Dalton was talking about how what happens between, you know, guys and gals, sometimes when the guy sees a gal that he's interested in, or how he was towards his wife, how his heart was just pumping. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when I was a very young believer, that's exactly how I knew He was dealing with me. Now, it's changed since then. There's a variety of ways that the God can give you by His Spirit how to know to do certain things and not know to do other things. But I'll tell you what, when I was a young believer, man, my heart would just start beating out of my chest. I just start, you know, getting cold sweats almost, get kind of nervous. But God was giving me a physical prompting to say, God, David, I'm trying to talk to you. I want you to do something. You got your ears on? You listening? Are you got your eyes open? Are you paying attention? And sometimes it took me a few moments to settle down before I zeroed in on what God was actually saying. But when you feel that beating, that pounding of your chest, when however God's Spirit might move on you, respond to it. Amen? And as you respond to it, it will get easier. We should have a fear of the Lord that when we feel that prompting and we say no to it, and pretty soon the pounding of our chest just slows down and is quiet, and God passes by for that moment because He realizes we're not cooperating with His Spirit. We should be afraid of living that type of lifestyle, shouldn't we? You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of life. Amen? It's wisdom. It's a good thing. The fear and reverence of God brings life to you if you'll cooperate with it. I'm not saying that we should always live in a dread and not be familiar with God's goodness and kindness, but there is a healthy fear of the Lord that each of us should have. That makes us careful not to quench or to take it for granted the work of the Spirit in our life. Don't quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says. The primary way we quench the Spirit isn't by actually fighting the Spirit. It's not necessarily some really outward violent type of thing. A lot of times, most of the time, it's just kind of a quiet, subtle, ignoring the promptings of the Spirit. The little things make a big difference in our life. Let's make it easier for God to get a hold of us or come across our path. Let me give you an example. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 3, 1 through 10. Exodus 3, 1 through 10. And I want to share with you just a little peek at the calling of Moses into his ministry, his life ministry. But I want you to notice, see, God wants to give us direction, amen? God wants to give us a sense of calling. God wants to give us an understanding of how we are to be involved in doing the kingdom work. And that's why the Spirit of God is so important in our life. He enables us to accomplish our calling in life, to do this thing for God's glory. And so we need to respond when we hear Him speaking to us, not resist Him. Exodus 3, 1 through 10. You're waiting on me to get there. Hang on. Now Moses was keeping the flock in his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. What is Moses doing? Is he doing something real spiritual? Is he on a special mission trip? Is he preaching? Is he at a prayer meeting? No, not doing anything really spiritually, special or unusual. He's simply doing the thing he did every day. Amen? He's doing the normal, mundane type of responsibilities, doing what his father-in-law wants him to do. Okay? We can relate to that sometimes, can't we? But it's in the little commonplace day in and day out doing that sometimes God will sneak up to us and try to get our attention. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire. Now this is a very consistent symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout the Scriptures, right? This flame of fire. Out of the midst of a bush, he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. This isn't just any fire. This is the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. There's this burning bush, but the bush isn't being consumed. It just continues just to burn there. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. Aren't you glad that God knows us by name? Amen? And he said, here am I. What I want you to notice here, Moses is doing everyday stuff, everyday work. He's minding his own business, doing what he's supposed to, and suddenly God appears to him through this burning bush. And it says in the text that God waited to see if he would notice or turn aside. And then depending on what he did at that point, determined if he heard more or understood more of God's leading and instruction. Amen? This is exactly how God works with us, you guys. There are little things that he is doing in our life, tugging, pulling, prompting, trying to get our attention. And depending on if we recognize it and are interested in it and pursue it a little bit, that determines if we get more out of what God's trying to say to us. Amen? I tell you what, God is constantly pursuing us, but also at the same time, God is a good investor. He doesn't randomly give people who aren't taking initiative or in seeking Him wonderful signs, wonders, visions, you know what I mean? The whole picture of what they're supposed to do for the rest of their life. He gives us little bits, gives us a little handle here or there, and depending on how we respond with that and handle that, determines if we get more insight from God on how to take the next step. Amen? Has God been doing some little stuff in your life, tugging on you, in the midst of doing your everyday stuff, trying to get your attention, and you're just ignoring it? You're just walking by the burning bush. Oh, that's just a bush. Yeah, it burns and isn't consumed, but I've got a lot of work to do. I've got to take care of my father-in-law's sheep. You know what I'm saying? Is that your attitude? Or are you going, wow, that's unusual. Maybe God's trying to say something to me. You ever had that thought? That's different. Scratch your head. Is God trying to say something? Oh, no. I better get back to work. Or are you going to pause and say, I'm going to look at that a little closer. Amen. You ever had a prompting about a particular text or a scripture keeps on coming back to your mind, but you never took the time to get your Bible out and look at it a little closer? Had a little prompting you should go talk to somebody and maybe pursue this person at church or sit down and have lunch with the pastor at church, and you keep on having that prompting, but you never follow up on it? And then you get in your prayer closet the next day, oh God, speak to me, show me what to do. You know what I'm saying? God's saying, I'm trying, but you're not taking the hints too easy. an opportunity to quench the Spirit, resist the Spirit, or to cooperate with the Spirit of adoption, the comforting Spirit of God, the teaching Spirit of God, the counseling Spirit of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. I'm going to investigate this. Verse 4, when the Lord saw, he was watching Moses to see how he was going to respond. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. Don't you like that, you guys? God's watching you. He's giving you some little hints here or there, and he's watching you. How is he going to respond? How is she going to respond? And he's watching you carefully, and depending on what you do next may determine on what you hear next. Amen? Good stuff. How about Luke 19:2? Luke 19:2, another example of somebody and how they responded to an opportunity to see and hear from God. Story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Isn't that right? How the Sunday school song goes? And he entered Jericho, speaking of Jesus, and was passing through. Jesus is always passing along, passing through somewhere, isn't he? Jesus is always moving here and there, doing kingdom work. And there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. This was the desire of his heart. You ever been there? I want to see who Jesus is. I want to understand more about who Jesus is. I want to know this about God and how God wants to move in this generation, how God wants to use me, and how God wants to manifest himself in our church and our community and around the world among all nations. Amen. You ever had any of those thoughts? I want to see what God's doing. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to be empowered to obey what God's doing. Amen? You ever had that kind of desire in your heart? It didn't just stay a desire. It wasn't just a wish. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not. Okay, there's somebody between wee little Zacchaeus, small little Zacchaeus, and this vision of Christ that he wants, this greater understanding about who Jesus is, this crowd. There's an external barrier. You ever felt like there was an external barrier between you and what you wanted to find out about who Jesus was? There was a crowd because he was small of stature. He had two problems. The crowd was big and tall, and he was short and small. Amen? And these two things, as they came together, they created an obstacle to Zacchaeus of seeing who Jesus was. You ever felt like, man, I got problems on the inside, I got problems on the outside. All this stuff's working against me to get anywhere. Well, I guess Zacchaeus could have took all of his money and went back home and sit on his nice couch in his luxurious home there. He was rich, right? And felt sorry for himself, but that's not what he did. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. I love the fact of this. In spite of the fact that Zacchaeus was short in stature, he was still a very wealthy, influential person of some means and influence in his community, even if it was a little bit of an infamous reputation there among the Jews. But that did not inhibit him from running, okay? You know, guys, if you wear nice clothes and, you know, you're out doing business, they don't exactly, enable you to run real easy, do they? But somebody who really wants to run, who is really pursuing something, that doesn't get in their way. Okay, though that might have not looked real dignified, that did not hinder Zacchaeus from running. More than that, not only not just running, but to climb up into a tree. Okay, when was the last time some of you older folks climbed into a tree? In your best clothes. Can you imagine? Do you see the attitude of Zacchaeus? I love this. Don't you love this? So he runs on ahead. He goes, okay, there's the crowd. I'm short. Jesus is going that way. I'll get on ahead of him and I'll run on ahead. He had a plan. He took some initiative. He knew how to put himself in the path of where Jesus was going so he could get a really good view of who Jesus was and what Jesus was like. Amen? Are you taking initiative? Hey, you guys, if you're not taking any time to read your Bible, you're not running on ahead. Amen? If you don't take the time to get on your knees and pray every day, you're not running on ahead. This is the place, one of the primary places where we see who Jesus is. If you don't take time with God's Word, you're not taking responsibility to put yourself in the path of where Christ is. Amen? Boy, I could get preachy about that if I wanted to. It really, there's some truth there, isn't there? So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass by. Do you recognize the timing of God? How did he know he was about to pass by? He was paying attention. He was watching all the cues. He was watching the crowd. He was being sensitive. He wasn't being sluggish or thoughtless about things around him. He was paying attention. Are you paying attention and cooperating with what the Spirit of God's doing around you? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. How awesome is that, you guys? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Can you imagine? You know, here he is, Zacchaeus, he's in a tree. Everybody can see him. Jesus can see him, the crowd must see him, and he must have looked kind of silly, but he's not doing this to draw attention to himself, to become a spectacle. There might have been some cynic in the crowd that said, oh man, there's rich Zacchaeus trying to one-up the Messiah. You know what I mean? Climbing up in a tree. But that's not what he was doing. He wasn't climbing up in a tree to be seen. He wasn't making this extra effort to get all the way up there to be seen. He was doing this to see who Jesus was. Amen? You know, when you do try and striving with all your heart in by God's grace in the Spirit to be who everybody, all that you're supposed to be, some people might accuse you of trying to draw attention to yourself. But you know in your own heart, if you're trying to gain the approval of others, or if you're just trying to get out there a little farther so you can make sure you make a good connection with what God's doing, because you want to be a doer of these greater works of the Spirit. Amen? How about Mark 10:46? We referred to this yesterday. Mark 10:46. The story of Bartimaeus. What a great story this is. One of my favorites. And they came to Jericho. We're talking about Christ and his disciples. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said to him, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off the cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. On the way. Let's back up now and unpack it a little bit. Why is Bartimaeus on the same road that Jesus is traveling by? It's because he's blind. He's in touch with his infirmity, his weakness, and his inability. He recognizes that he cannot live day by day without the outside intervention or the free will gift of somebody who would pass by that road and give him a coin here or there in his cup or whatever he was collecting alms in. Amen? He's in touch with his brokenness and his great need. So he puts himself on the roadside where people are traveling back and forth. But there's an application for us as believers. We too must be in touch with our own inability to do this thing called the Christian life and to fulfill our ministry in life apart from God's grace, and we must put ourselves in Christ's pathway. Amen? The places He travels back and forth down. The church, the scriptures, the place of prayer, godly fellowship and Bible study. Amen? These are pathways on which Jesus commonly travels. All right? So He puts Himself out there where He can come in contact with people because He really, really is aware and in touch with His inner need. Amen? You know why people neglect the Scriptures? Why they neglect prayer or the fellowship of the saints? They're not really in touch with their need. They have yet to really understand how desperately bankrupt they are in and of themselves apart from God's grace. Amen? If you understand how broken you are, how futile this thing is in your own strength, you then will put yourself in a place where you can encounter God's grace. Amen? To empower you to do the things you can't do in your own strength. God's grace. Wonderful. Unmerited. Undeserved. So Bartimaeus puts himself out there because he's blind. He can't see, and neither can us. Neither can you or me. By ourselves. Amen? We don't know up from down. We don't know what to do tomorrow apart from God's grace. Yo, now come on, brother. Really? We don't. We are blind, self-destructive, hurtful, hurt other people, left to our own devices. Amen? And if you don't know that yet, you just haven't gotten the right set of circumstances yet to reveal it. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, now think about this, Bartimaeus doesn't even have the benefit of seeing Jesus coming down the road like Zacchaeus did. Because he can't see, right? He's a blind beggar. That's why he's out there. But he heard that Jesus was coming. Some of you guys might say, well, once I see a miracle, or once I see somebody raised from the dead, or I see this happen or that happen, I'll get busy and obey God. Have you ever had that kind of attitude? I have. I want you to notice all Bartimaeus had to do was hear that Jesus was coming. Have you heard of the goodness of God? Have you heard of the promises of God? Have you heard of God's grace, His mercy, and His desire for you? That is enough to respond to. Amen? He hears that Jesus is coming, and so what does he do? Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. I need God's mercy. Amen? That's the cry of his heart. He knew this might be his only shot, so he begins to cry out at the top of his lungs. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Who's this? Church people. The disciples. Man, you're messing up our service. Don't you realize the altar call isn't until the end of the meeting? What are you doing that now for? Amen? Now, there's a whole other sermon in here. Some of you may have heard me preach it before, but he's got to work through even some forgiveness issues before he can make this connection with Christ, because those who are supposed to be the strongest and brightest and closest to Jesus are actually hindering him from connecting with God's healing grace. And if you haven't discovered that people do that in the church yet, you haven't hung around the church long enough. Amen? Amen? Okay. You can get banged up in the church. You got to keep your heart of forgiveness on, don't you, if you're going to hang around the church very long. The enemy knows there's so much at stake here. There's such a potential in the church that he actually tries to make us hurt or misunderstand each other. They didn't, I don't think, want to do Bartimaeus evil. They just didn't understand and recognize what God was doing in him. Amen? And sometimes we are misunderstood also, aren't we? So what does he do when they tell him to be quiet and rebuked him, telling him to be quiet? But he cried out all the more. Don't you love this? Jesus! I'm not going to be quiet. This is my only shot. This is my only chance to connect with him. His desperation, his crisis that he was having in life, his desire to connect with Jesus was greater than his desire for the approval of men and to be thought well of even among the most elite spiritual disciples. Amen? Are you afraid of man more than you're afraid of God? The kingdom work will not go well for you. Amen? All the great missionaries and revivalists and reformers throughout the last 200 years of church history have been men and women who stood up and said, no, I will obey God rather than man. Amen? Even if that man happens to wear a collar backwards and is authority in the church. Amen? I got to slow down here now. Listen. We need to submit to our authorities, okay? Don't misunderstand me. But there comes a time when we've got to say no. Isn't that right? Okay. I don't want to make you guys listen to your authorities, young guys. Getting ahead of myself here. I've said no a lot of times when I should have said yes, I have to admit. But there's something about this, isn't there, that you love? I'm not going to be quiet. Nope. I've got to connect with Jesus. And Jesus stopped. Boy, this kind of heart gets a hold of Jesus' attention. Is God talking to you? He's saying, go on, out there. Pursue me. Raise your voice. Put yourself in the pathway. Are you obeying that voice? Or saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord? Or do you come to a point where, okay, now they're rebuking me. They're telling me to be quiet, and they don't understand. And then you start saying no? Or are you willing to work through that and keep on saying yes? Take heart. Get up, he's calling you. These once discouragers of the kingdom work in Bartimaeus' life are now telling him, come on, you know, there's those people in the church, aren't they? Testing the wind, trying to see which way, you know, how stuff's going. If it looks good, yeah, go. The Lord wants to do a miracle in your life, praise God. You know, just a minute ago, they were sitting him down. Take heart, get up, he's calling you. But look at this, and throwing aside the cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. That cloak, that outer garment for a beggar on the streets of Jerusalem, was the most valuable thing that man had. Did you realize that? You ever seen these people, the bag lady underneath the bridge, some homeless person? Every possession, their most prized possessions, they can fit usually in a trash bag. That's the best stuff they have. And though it might look like trash to you, it's important to them when they're sleeping out on the streets. That's the situation here with Bartimaeus. He probably slept in a back alley, under a little bridge, or on the side of the street with the dogs, literally, back at this time. And yet, when that cloak started to slow him down to get into the presence of Christ, he throws it aside. He throws it aside. There's a spirit of sacrifice and self-denial, and I'll get everything out of my way so I can connect with Jesus. That kind of heart. Amen? Does God talking to some of you guys say, come on, come on. I'm trying to do something in your life, and you're saying yes, you're saying yes, you're saying yes to the Spirit of God, and then you hit a wall. You get to something that God says, let go of that because it's slowing you down. And you start to say, I don't know, Lord. Look, this is the best jacket I got out of here, you know? You know, but he just throws it aside. He springs up, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, that I might recover my sight, or that I might see, that I might see. Just like Dalton was talking the other day, that seeing is very important, amen? Till you see Jesus clearly, you really don't know what to do with the rest of your life or how to live it. This encounter with God that comes as a direct consequence of obeying those little promptings of the Holy Spirit allows us to see Christ clearly. This seeing radically revolutionized and redefined Bartimaeus' life. Guess what? Once he started seeing, he didn't have to be a beggar anymore. Once he started seeing Jesus, he didn't have to sit on the roadside. It totally redefined his life. And that's seen in the next verse. And the blind man said, Rabbi, that I might recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Not by works, not by our own effort, not by our own strength, by faith, childlike faith in Christ. Every miracle, every encounter comes. Amen? Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight, his vision, his ability to perceive things correctly and know where he's going and knowing what to avoid. And what did he do with this? And he followed him on the way. This vision, this sight from a direct encounter with the presence of Christ radically revolutionized and redefined his life and gave him the vision to walk on the road and follow Christ and fulfill his birthright and destiny in God. Amen? Amen? You guys, I'd be scared to death. If you're not connecting with the Holy Spirit, you don't got a clue to know what you're doing. You're in danger unless you, I'm telling the truth, you are in real danger unless you're connecting with God to get some clear direction on which way to go. Because you're being left to your own devices, your own wisdom, your own perception, or your lack of. And you're making radical, at this stage of your life, you're making radical life-changing decisions based on your own human wisdom. That is a frightful thing. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? We can't make these kind of choices and decisions without the Spirit of God being a hold of us. Amen? Amen? You know, that's why some of us that are such a mess and messed up our lives so badly figure it out long before some of the folks that are smarter and brighter. Did you know that? They got all kinds of options available to them, all kinds of resources, all kinds of money. And they got a lot of ideas how to live this life. Some of us that are a little more bankrupt and broken and screwed things up a little worse sometimes come to a place of brokenness and discover real vision, real insight a lot sooner. But it doesn't have to be that way. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. He will give each of us the insight and wisdom that we need if we'll but ask and obey when He says something. Amen? Am I getting too preachy for you guys? Thank you, brother. We got one guy here helping me out. Amen. Respond quickly when God speaks. Respond quickly when God speaks. John 21, verse 3. John 21, verse 3. Don't you love the Gospels? I love all these little stories about how Jesus interacted with people and how Jesus talked to His disciples, how He sat down and gave them direction and drew things out of them. There are so many wonderful lessons if we'll but take the time. John 21, verse 3 through 23. Well, I'll start in verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the sea. We're talking about after Christ had been raised from the dead. By His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, called Thomas, the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." He's a little bit disillusioned and disappointed at this point in his life. Amen? Okay, I thought Jesus was going to be around for a long time, establish His kingdom, going to give us, set us up each thrones, and he had it all figured out, right? It didn't go down that way. Jesus died on the cross, and he heard that He'd, been raised from the dead, but He still didn't understand how it was all going to come together. So what does Peter do? He goes back to what he knows best. No crime in that, I guess, is there? Fishing. But fishing will never be the same for Peter anymore. Not since he's met Jesus. "So I'm going fishing." They said to Him, he said, "We will go with you." So they all go back to what they were used to doing. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. The thing that they were good at wasn't producing much, right? Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" I don't know. It's made weird or whatever. I love this picture of Jesus standing on the shore talking to them. Amen? Asking them regular questions. Interested in what's going on. Looking for an opportunity to reveal Himself in a fresh way. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus notices what we're doing in life, what we do from day to day? He knows us by name. And He looks for little opportunities to interact with us and ask us questions that lead us to a place where we'll discover more about Him. Amen? Some of you maybe have heard me say this before. The thing that really hurt me, probably got me one of the most about my relationship with my father when he was still alive, is that he didn't notice. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, he was a good man, a good, hard-working provider. Always took good care of me, but he didn't notice. The little stuff. can't remember one time he looked me in the eye and said anything really thoughtful, you know, really deep, anything challenging me. Amen? Isn't it good to know that God knows us by name? He hadn't forgotten us. He hadn't abandoned us. And he says, man, I see what's going on in your life, Raymond. Amen? He sees us, he notices us, and he asks us questions to draw us out and lead us to something new about him. Amen? There's something really good to, you know, some of you, anybody in here, remember when you were a new parent? When you brought that little baby home and you laid him in bed? There's a few of you, right? You brought that little baby home and you got up several times in the middle of the night to see if they were okay while they were sleeping. Remember that? God watches over us. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. That's why he stays up. Amen? Not because he doesn't need, that's not just because he's the eternal God and doesn't need sleep, because he keeps his eye on us. That's a whole nother thought, isn't it? Okay, well, let's get back to our story. I'm getting sidetracked. Michelle's messing up my message by laughing at me. We can stop that. Okay. They said to him, let me get back here. I'm sorry. Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. They looked at each other. Might as well. We tried everywhere else, right? So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. Don't you like this? I love the. I can't hardly read through the book of John when John talks about himself. He doesn't ever mention his own name. He only he has defined himself the way God has defined him, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen? Is that the core identity of who you are? God loves me. Jesus loved me. Jesus cares about me. Jesus watches over me. Jesus comforts me and counsels me and teaches me and is concerned about my life. Amen? That was his whole identity. His life view was, I am the disciple, the one trained by the love and care of Christ. Amen? And he's the first one to recognize that it's Jesus. Remember when Jesus was at the Lord's table there at the Passover feast, and Jesus was talking about things to come, and they got some information from Jesus via John, through John, because John was sitting close. He was laying his head on the breast of Jesus. Amen? There was an intimacy there that John had that made him kind of, in a very natural way, a prophetic voice for what Jesus was doing and where Jesus was moving. Amen? That's a whole nother little message, but there's some good stuff there. But look how Peter responds. This is the heart that we need to have. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said, Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter had heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. He took his clothes off because he'd been working. The other disciples stripped himself for work and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a boat dragging the net full of fish. The implication is here, though it doesn't directly say it, is that Peter put on his outward cloak, and though it was still just a short distance from shore, started swimming for the bank as hard as he could because he wanted to be the first one there to meet Jesus. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful picture, you guys? When Jesus shows up in a meeting, when Jesus starts pulling on your heart and starts doing stuff, respond quickly. Amen? You might not be the first person to identify that God's doing something in your life. It might be a John, right? But when you get the information, when God makes it plain, don't waste any time. Respond quickly. It may have everything to do with the rest of the information that you're going to get. Actually, as you continue to read through John 21 here, there's a dialogue that Jesus and the disciples have as they cook their breakfast on the beach there, and Jesus starts giving Peter insight about his calling on life. Amen? about what God wants to do in his life. One response opens up the way for some more information. Amen? Just as we've said already. Amen? You need God's wisdom. You need God's insight. You need to know what to do. Respond to those little promptings. Amen? Another problem that Peter has here in John 21, he's worried about John. What about him? Right? Remember that? What about him? If you're trying to figure out what to do next, what God wants to do through you and in you, quit worrying about the other guy, what they're doing. Amen? Now, we can learn lessons from other people, how they obey the voice of God, but I'm telling you what, I've got sidetracked and messed up more by comparing myself with what God is doing in somebody else over and over and over. Amen? It just sidetracks you so, so easy. What about him? Don't worry about him. You do what I told you to do. You know, tend my sheep is what Jesus tells him right there. Amen? It's so important. Remember that. Each of you that are called into the ministry, especially if you're responsible in the church, don't try to do it just the way that other guy does it, especially if you're not gifted the same way. Amen? Figure out how the Lord wants you to do it. There's a way that he will have you do it that's a little bit different, though maybe similar, than the way other people do it. Amen? You won't have joy. You won't have peace. You won't have the grace of God on your life to do it somebody else's way. Does that make sense, you guys? Amen? Oh, what about brother so-and-so? Man, God, geez, and him. Did you see that? It was awesome, that message he shared. Man, he hears things so clearly from the Lord. God uses him there in worship. God does this, she does that, all this type of stuff, man. Be encouraged for your brothers and sisters, but don't get sidetracked by it. I've got these ministry friends that I talk to about twice a year. And I have a phone conversation with them. And a couple of them are really hard to reconnect with because every time I reconnect with them, they want to tell me for hours everything they've been doing. And I started to figure it out after a while that I was always really messed up and discouraged about what I was supposed to be doing because I was thinking so hard about all the stuff God had been doing with them. So some people don't know any better than not to talk too much about themselves. You know what I mean? Even in the ministry, right? But you have to recognize when that's happening to your heart and take your thoughts captive. Don't get bent out of shape and don't get sidetracked by it. Amen? Okay, for whoever that's for, maybe that makes sense. Knowing when to say yes, when to say no. Psalms 1:1-2. Real quickly, we're about to wrap this up. Are you guys getting something out of this? Okay. Psalms 1. Boy, for a lot of you young guys, you would do well just to put a little marker right here and to look at this verse often. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Not only do we need to be quick to hear what God's Spirit says and recognize what God's Spirit's doing so we can cooperate with it, we also need to understand when there's bad counsel, bad instruction. The enemy is deceptive. Did you know that? He doesn't always come as, you know, a little red devil going to destroy your life, does he? Sometimes he dresses himself in some garments that look kind of attractive and wise. There's something that pretends to be the wisdom of this world that sounds pretty intelligent sometimes, but can take you down a wrong path. And we need to be discerning and led by the Spirit so we can distinguish between the two. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And it's not always overtly wicked, that counsel. Sometimes it seems wise. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Do you see the downward progression? Walking in bad counsel, with bad information, with bad input, coming from ungodly sources. You're walking. To standing, not walking anymore, standing in the path of sinners. Pretty soon you're not even standing, you're sitting in the seat of scoffers, totally idle, totally not involved in what God wants you to do or what God's called you to do. There's this downward progression once we start listening to the wrong stuff. That's how the enemy gets an inroad into our life. Amen? Every stronghold that is established, a sinful, bad, negative stronghold in a believer's life, starts usually by hearing, listening to something wrong. Listening to the lies of the enemy, the input of the enemy. Amen? Isn't that right? It might be like the tempter in the garden. Remember there in the Garden of Eden? Did the Lord really say? So often it doesn't come as an out-and-out refutal, refuting the wisdom of God, the way of God, the words of God. Oftentimes it's disguised as a question that makes a suggestion. Did the Lord really say? You know what I'm talking about, you guys? Drawing into question the character and the love and care of God. There are so many people that are asking horrible questions right now. Be aware. You know, there's a time to be inquisitive, to ask questions, to be a seeker. But there are a lot of people that are asking questions that aren't doing any seeking. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Be discerning. Sometimes, man, you know, I've been, honestly, in my walk with God, God be doing a deeper work in my life in one area or another, working on some part of me, trying to get me to, you know, get over some struggle here or there. And I'll be trying to consume some teaching tapes, reading some books, getting some good teaching, amen? And I'll come across something and God says, uh-uh, don't listen to that. Don't read that. I go, come on, Lord, this is a good author, man. All my friends like this book. It makes perfect sense. Remember yesterday when I was telling you, sometimes you'll hear God say, uh-uh, and our mind tells us there's no problem there, and we talk ourselves into it and then end up in a bad place. The same thing can be true for certain kind of teaching and influences that for one reason or another that we may not understand at that moment, God just says, put that away. That's not what you need to be meditating on right now. David, that's not helping you where I'm taking you, okay? Does that make sense, you guys? We need to be discerning enough, know God well enough, to be able to understand that. God is always in the business of fine-tuning our ear to hear His Spirit better. Amen? As I said earlier, sometimes when we're a new believer, our heart might beat out of our chest to let us know, I'm trying to get your attention. As we go on with the Lord, He'll give us a variety of different ways to discern His will. Amen? You ever thought about the fact that a dog in a big field of all these people and other animals and stuff can still, when his master calls his name, can distinguish his master's voice and run straight to him? In the midst of cars going by, other dogs barking, and all these people talking, even a dog can discern the voice of his master. Because he, day in and day out, he has been his companion, and he just discerns it. Amen? That's kind of this process we're in walking with God, is He's fine-tuning our ear to hear Him better all the time. So watch out for this progression of walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the path of sinners, that leaves you ultimately in this place of sitting in the seat of scoffers, all cynical and sarcastic and bitter and angry. Amen? That's where the enemy wants to take us. Proverbs. Well, let's jump on to this one. Psalms 32, 8 and 9, and we'll end with this verse. Psalms 32, 8 and 9. One of my favorite passages. Come on, David, get over there. We're waiting on you. I got a new Bible and I'm still not used to it. Amen? God wants to make us doers. He wants to make us kingdom goers. Amen? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. How many of us people in this room need some information, some insight on how to go, what to do, where to go, where to do? Amen? God says He's for you. He wants to give you what you're needing. Amen? I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I actually like the way the New King James puts it. I will guide you with my eye. Be not like the horse or a mule who without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or else they will not come near you, stay near you. There's two types of believers here. One is the kind of Christian that God guides with his eye. And the other is the type of believer that must be guided or directed by external pressure, like a bit and bridle in a horse's mouth that gives him direction by an experience of pain. Are you guys listening to me? God loves both these types of people. He really does. He's passionately in love with both types of Christians. But one stubborn, resistant type of believer makes God do it the hard way. God wants to show us in the way we should go. He wants to guide us with his eye. Now, that verse didn't mean anything to me until after I got married. He wants to guide me with his eye. Now, me and my wife have often been sitting across from a dinner table, having a conversation with friends present, and with a look, with just a glance, a little glimmer in her eye, or it might come from mine, we understand each other perfectly without any words being exchanged. You know the look I'm talking about, guys? Amen? The look? Or maybe your children know the look. Some of you young folks know the look, don't you? You're about to do something, and your mom looks at you like this. She didn't say a word, but man, you got the whole thing downloaded. You've unpacked it all. You understand exactly what she wants you to do or not do. Amen? God will guide you with his eye. Where does that come from? Where does that kind of insight, counsel, instruction, comprehension come from? It comes from intimacy. Amen? It comes from being a man and woman of prayer, spending a lot of time with God, that you might be able to discern what he wants. He can guide you that way. I remember, I'll rat out Evan a little bit. When he was a little guy, man, he'd be running down the hall fast as he could be, you know, go, and he'd turn around and look over his shoulder to catch my eye as I'm sitting on the couch on the other end of the house, just to see if he's got the green light or not. You know, and I go, you know what I'm saying? That comes from intimacy. God wants to guide us with his eye. He wants a face-to-face relationship. What kind of relationship does the horseman and the horse have? Do they have a face-to-face relationship? Does every time that rider wants the horse to turn right or left, he gets off the back of the horse and goes, "Now, come on, honey. Now, we're going over here." Is that what's going on? No. He pulls back on those reins and pulls that, and makes that piece of metal, that cold steel, bear down on that horse's mouth, causing pain, letting him know, you turn that way or you turn that way, you stop, you go. That horse has a relationship. I mean, unless you're kind of some kind of fancy horse whisperer, for the most part, that horse has a relationship with the rider related to pain. There are some believers in the Church of Jesus Christ who are, because they refuse to yield to the promptings, the drawings of the Holy Spirit, the only way they know to go someplace or not to go someplace is because God brings external pressure into their life. That is not how God wants it to be for you. Amen? Stop doing that. Start saying yes. Start listening. Say, "Okay, God, I'll do it the good way, face-to-face way. I'm tired of that. Oh, that some of that stuff hurts, doesn't it? I'm tired of doing it the hard way. I'll yield to you." Amen? The Lord is good. He's good. He's kind. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He wants to just to pour out a spirit of comfort and consolation and teaching and instruction on you that isn't a hard, heavy burden or a difficult thing. Some believers are always going through a new crisis. They don't know the ways of God, how God says to go here or not go there. They live on the mercy and grace of God all the time. You know, the mercy of God, him bailing them out over and over. God loves them. He's still for them. He still wants to get them on track, but it's always a miracle or breakthrough that's getting them, saving them from month to month, because they refuse to learn the ways of God and do it this intimate, relational way. Amen? Before you can see what you to do next, how to go next, how to become a kingdom doer and goer, you got to get your eyes on Jesus. Amen? You got to see Jesus. You know, really, we don't even understand who we are without first seeing who Jesus is. Amen? Bartimaeus got his eyes on Jesus. You know, Zacchaeus, God crawled into the tree to see Jesus. Amen? Remember Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting high and lifted up. This prophet of God, this anointed man of God, got a new vision of God in a time of crisis and transition. Amen? In the year that King Uzziah died, a time of change, time of turmoil, he suddenly has a new vision of who God is. Anybody had a new vision of God when you're going through a hard time? I think that's a little bit what's going on with Isaiah. But he saw the Lord high and lifted up, surrounded by the angelic worshipers, crying out, holy, holy, holy. This new revelation, this new elevated view of the majesty and glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a direct consequence of that, he saw himself better. He saw himself more clearly. And you know what he said? Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. He saw himself and his generation, his needy generation, correctly. Why? Because my eyes have seen the King, it says in Isaiah 6:5. We don't rightly see ourselves nor see our own generation till we accurately see the glory and majesty of God. Amen? If we have a diminished view of the glory of God, we will have an overinflated view of ourselves and our own importance and our own value. This revelation of God brings us to a crisis that makes us recognize, humble ourselves, and say, oh my goodness, I need more of God's grace. What happened to Isaiah there? The seraphim took a live coal from the altar with the tongs and flew and touched his lips and said, your iniquity is taken away. Amen? Grace was being facilitated to him because he had had a revelation of his own inner need in reflection to who God was. Amen? Guess what happened next, you guys? Isaiah does a little bit of eavesdropping. He hears, you know, the Holy Trinity in heaven. Who'll go for us? Hey, we've got a job to do. You know what I mean? We got to do some things. And that volunteer spirit rises up in Isaiah and says, here I am. Me, back here, Lord, you see me? I'll go. I'll do it. So often we try to motivate people to go and do this kingdom stuff based on a need or a crisis or a cause. A need, a crisis, and a cause will never keep you in the place of anointing and in your office. It's got to be rooted in not how bad the situation is, but how great our God is. Amen? Amen? That is the thing that will hold you and keep you. When people are nice or people aren't nice, you're doing it for the glory of God. You're doing it because God has put a seal upon your life and heart. Amen? I'm getting too preachy, aren't I? I still feel wound up, Jason. God's trying to talk. He's trying to talk to somebody in here, some of you guys in here, and you need to respond. You need to start saying yes. You go, oh, that's weird. What's going on over there? Turn aside and look a little closer and see if you don't get more of God's instruction. Amen? Like Moses did. Amen? What's God saying to you guys today? I don't care how old you are, how young you are, God's in the business of speaking. Amen? You're not too young to hear God's voice, are you? Amen. Let's pray real quick. Let's just take our minds off all that we need to do or what the schedule says we might ought to do right now and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your great love for all of us. Thank you for your love for these young men, these young women here, these older saints, mothers, fathers, teachers, pastors, all of us here, God. Thank you that you're in the business of talking. You're in the business of relationship, of walking with us and talking with us on the way as we go to fulfill our purpose in your kingdom. I'm so grateful, God, that you just haven't made us a robot and plugged us in and sent us on some little task, but that you want to co-labor with us, you partner with us, you hold our hand and put your arm around us and show us what we ought to do and show us other pitfalls to avoid. God, I just pray release your voice over every heart here this morning. I don't know what you're saying. I don't even want to pretend to know, God. But you do, and just start tugging on our hearts. Help us to use the little bits of information wisely and follow them up and open us up to more of your voice this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, so kind, so gracious. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love your voice, the sweetness of your presence. The things you know that we don't know, don't understand yet. But we can trust you with everything that's to come, Lord. Thank you, God. Well, let's kind of pick up. Just keep your head down and keep an attitude of prayer. And let's kind of pick up where we kind of left off yesterday. There might be people in here that go, you know what? I've been saying no. I've been resisting the Spirit. He's been trying to get my attention and say, come over here and look a little closer. And I've just been going back to my business. And you want to start saying yes. You want to be one who responds to all that God's saying so you might have the fullness of His Spirit in your life. Amen? So if you want to just start over, it gets easier with each step. Each response to a yes, day by day, it gets easier. You want to start over today. I just ask you, just everybody's going to keep their head down and just stand up right where you're at. No pressure, but if God's talking to you, just say, I want to be a man or woman who says yes and keep on saying yes. And I'll trust your Spirit and your grace to do it all in me and through me for your glory, God. We're not talking about you doing it, you guys. We're not talking about you mustering it up and making it happen. All you have to do is say yes, and He, by His Spirit, empowers you to do what He has called you to do. Amen? Isn't that good news? I want to start saying yes in a new level, a new way. God, forgive me for saying no. Maybe this morning you've been convicted that, wow, I didn't even realize it, but I've been quenching the Spirit. I've been saying no in a lot of little ways. I didn't really think it was a big deal. God, just forgive us for where we've been saying no. And repent, make a new direction towards the Lord and say, God, I'm committing to say yes. Somebody else. Maybe you got some prayer yesterday, but you want some more prayer. You just don't feel like it was quite, got finished. Just stand and keep standing. There's no shame, you guys. We all need to do this at one time or another. Amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus cries out, do you have any fish? How fruitful are you? How productive have you been? Be honest, say, we don't have any, Lord. So you can get the next piece of information, the next word, where to cast the net. Amen? Amen. Do you have any fish? How's it been working for you? Doing it your way. Following your own plan. Following even somebody else's plan. Do you have any fish? God's waiting to give you more. More instruction, the next piece. Do you have any fish? Somebody else need to stand up and get prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to show you where to cast your nets. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, just breathe on us. Just breathe on us. Breathe on us. Just speak it over us this morning, Lord. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yes, Jesus. Fill us, fill us. Yes, just put your palms up. Don't get too, feel too awkward. Just turn your hands up and just say, God, fill me up. I'm an empty vessel. Fill me up. Fill me up with your voice. Fill me up with your wisdom. Wisdom, the application of knowledge, not knowing what to do, but how and when to do it. That's what some of us need, amen? Fill us up, God. Fill us up. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Fill us with your Spirit. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Comforter, counselor, teacher. Oh, bring into remembrance all things that you've ever said to us. Where you get so forgetful sometimes. You've spoken a promise over us at one time or another, and we've forgotten it, God. We've forgotten that vision that you've given us or that word that you gave us. Remind us right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. 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 Brother, can you just help us by playing just a little bit on the piano? Can you do that? I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's just continue to pray. Just hang out, you guys. Let's just pray for one another, but let's just take a little bit of time to pray for those who are standing around us. Just ask for God's fullness, the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in them. Amen? And we'll let God do what He wants to do and do it the way He wants to do. No expectations. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.